Welcome to the WBGO Journal. I'm Doug Doyle. Today we hear from New York City Mayor Zohran Mamdani, who was officially sworn into office this week.
We will deliver universal child care for the many by taxing the wealthiest few.
We continue our Voices of Wellness series with a report from WBGO Scott Pringle on the battle to reduce the number of opioid overdose deaths in New Jersey.
And New Jersey has really done an excellent job in the last couple of years in expanding that program, so we have a lot more Narcan out there.
And I'll chat with two-time Grammy Award-winning singer Nicole Zoraitis about her Grammy-nominated album, Live at Vic's Las Vegas.
What I realized is that every jazz musician that I've ever adored has made a live album. And I think that is part of the tradition and also just like the perfect career builder for a jazz musician to show that you can live live.
All this coming up today on the WBGO Journal. New York City's new mayor, Zohran Mamdani, says he's ready to help New Yorkers as he took the oath of office this week in front of thousands. Vermont Democratic U.S. Senator Bernie Sanders ceremoniously swore in the new mayor.
I will faithfully discharge the duties
of the office of the mayor of the city of New York.
Of the office of the mayor of the city of New York.
Mamdani vowed to come through on his campaign promises.
I was elected as a Democratic Socialist and I will govern as a Democratic Socialist.
We will deliver universal child care for the many by taxing the wealthiest few. We will freeze the rent. We will make those buses fast and free.
Bernie Sanders also addressed the crowd.
Too much hatred, too much divisiveness, and too much injustice. Thank you for electing Zohran Mamdani as your mayor.
On day one, Mayor Mamdani signed executive orders intended to address the severe housing shortage. The number of opioid overdose deaths in New Jersey is on the decline, reversing a decade-long trend of an increase, but experts say there's a long way to go in battling the crisis, and things could derail the progress. WBGO's Scott Pringle has more.
Data shows New Jersey recorded 2,816 overdose deaths in 2023. That's about an 11% decline from the prior year, with reduction reaching all ethnic and racial groups. Prior to that, deaths had been on the rise for 10 years in the Garden State. The downward trend continued into 2024. Stephen Kristol is the Board of Governors Professor of Health Services Research at Rutgers University and is an expert on the matter.
That New Jersey finally started to really move on harm reduction. Harm reduction means getting Narcan into the hands of people. It means safer injection sites. It means a lot of education to reach out to people and encourage them into treatment programs. And New Jersey has really done an excellent job in the last couple of years in expanding that program, which took a long time to take off. So we have a lot more Narcan out there.
Another reason for the decline is an increase in access to treatment through Medicaid.
Since the pandemic, we've had the ability to access treatment through telehealth by Medicaid. That's very important. And we are gradually giving a path to more people.
However, he says federal legislation passed this past summer will knock a lot of people off Medicaid who have been receiving drug abuse treatments, and that'll hurt the opioid battle. New Jersey's ability to fund the state share of Medicaid is also being reduced.
About half of all people with opioid use disorder in expansion states like New Jersey are on Medicaid, and Medicaid is their critical lifeline to treatment and protecting them from overdose.
New Jersey is getting money from a massive federal opioid settlement involving manufacturers, distributors, and marketers for their role in allegedly creating and fueling the opioid epidemic. The state is getting at least $1 billion over 18 years. The money started going to the state and local government agencies in 2022 for programs aimed at treatment, prevention, and other strategies to combat the opioid epidemic. Morgan Thompson is the CEO of Prevention Links, which primarily serves Union, Hudson, and Middlesex counties, focusing on addiction prevention, long-term recovery support services, and operates a recovery high school. Prevention Links has received about $2 million of opioid settlement funds. Thompson says it's made a huge difference.
We were able to increase our operating hours from about 25 hours a week to operating full-time 6 days a week, having, you know, far more staff than we had previously, offering far more programming than we could previously. So it's been a really transformational investment for us there.
Thompson is also involved with opioid settlement funding and advocacy at the state level. She says great investments have been made in harm reduction expansion and recovery supports housing with the settlement money. However,
I would like to see more upstream intervention. A big part of our work is around preventing opioid and other substance use disorders. As I mentioned, we operate a recovery high school. To date, there has been, little to no funding for, youth-oriented services through the state's portion of the opioid settlement, just one or two programs. But I think we need to do more for young people with those dollars.
Ken Musgrove is the Director of Recovery Support for a Community in Crisis for Prevention and Recovery in Somerset County. The nonprofit helps people in their recovery journey and Narcan training and peer support. He says they have launched a few countywide initiatives with their settlement money.
It allows us to go out and do what we call peer recovery pop-ups. We're able to fill the gaps between where our physical location is. So we go out to those towns that have had high fatal overdoses and low recovery capital and bring services directly to the community.
Despite the money from the settlement first being distributed a few years ago, Musgrove says a lot of it's not being spent yet.
And Somerset County was very quick to get funds out into the community, which right now is a little bit of a challenge throughout the rest of the state that many communities are sitting on their opioid settlement funds and not necessarily using them to their full capacity.
His educated guess as to why.
Part of it is that they're not sure how to use the funding. It shouldn't be supplanting previous programming.
Musgrove says while there's been significant progress on reducing the number of opioid overdose fatalities, the battle continues.
As we focus on one substance, there's other, substances coming into the communities that, we'll need to react to and we'll need to have funding around it. And we need to be able to be prepared to address the next, the next substance that comes into the community. So, this funding is critical that we're able to be innovative and responsive to any new challenges that come along.
Scott Pringle, WBGO News.
Scott Pringle's feature is part of WBGO's Voices of Wellness series, made possible in part by a grant from the Horizon Fund for New Jersey.
Some loves are chromatic, they tend towards the dramatic. Others start out great, then arpeggiate. Up and down the scale, they ultimately fail. Between harmony and dissonance, my affairs were too intense. It took a while to see that you, my love, were always there, staring back at me, bearing what the French call joie de vivre. One, two, three. I like my man like I like my notes, not too high and not too low. No sleight of hand, no complicated games, no problems left to solve, no X's with his name. There was you from the day we met, carefree, clear, with no hint of regret. And just like on a keyboard, a whole step from a D chord, there's only one, and you're for me. Baby, you're my middle C.
Joining me today is one of the soaring stars in jazz, Grammy-winning vocalist, pianist, and songwriter Nicole Zoraitis. This year, Nicole released her first concert album, Live at Vic's Las Vegas, and in the span of a two-hour show, she delivers a masterful performance that reflects her full artistry and solidifies why she is such a delight on stage. Great to see you as always, Nicole.
What a pleasure to be here. Great to see you, Doug.
Now, the mastery of the multiple roles for you in this, singer, pianist, improviser, songwriter, storyteller, arranger, it's all part of Live at Vic's Las Vegas. Why did you first want to do a live album?
Well, it was a very serendipitous story. One of the owners of Vicks, Sue Loudon, is Lithuanian, and my last name, right, is Lithuanian. So we bonded like family when I went to play there. And when I played there the first time, I got an email from one of the people in the audience saying, I love your records, but there's nothing like seeing you live. You should consider doing a live album. And then two times returning to Vicks later, not only were the owners, Sue and Paul Loudon, in the audience, but so was that same audience member and fan named Jay. So I noticed him, I noticed the owners, and I just, you know, close mouths don't get fed. So I said, wouldn't it be a delight if we did a live album here in Vegas? Because Jay, wasn't that your idea? And next thing you know, I walk off stage and Sue and Paul said, let's do it. And they made it happen.
We're glad that they made it happen, because not only did everybody there love it, but now everybody can enjoy this because it has been nominated for 2 Grammy Awards.
Vegas. Yeah, baby. Wait till you hear this band. We're so happy to be here at Vicks making this live record. Let's start with the blues.
I got my mojo working, but it just won't work on you. I got my mojo working, but it just won't work.
Live at Vicks, putting yourself out there as a singer, first of all, not only the fact that all of these songs you've either composed or you have arranged, there's no net when you're a singer. You've got to be on, and you were on during this live performance.
Well, I definitely had my good old friend Tequila to help calm the nerves. Listening back, I'm like, wow, I was really digging in there. Probably a little, I was really feeling the moment. What's so interesting about Live at Vicks is that when I hear it, I struggle sometimes because it's not perfect, and I'm a Capricorn, and it has to be perfect, or it has to be perfect enough. And what I realized is that every jazz musician that I've ever adored has made a live album. And I think that is part of the tradition, and also just like the perfect career builder for a jazz musician, to show that you can live live, and you don't need Melodyne, and you don't need auto-tune. And the joy of jazz is the improv. And so I let everyone go off the rails. And, you know, in retrospect, maybe I could have shortened it and thought more commercially, like maybe the songs didn't have to be 11 minutes long. But I was in live show mode, which is mostly about energy and mostly about audience, and the audience was having a blast, and we were having a blast on stage.
And one of the tunes, best live jazz vocal performance, not just the album. So this is a two-time Grammy nominee, this album that has just come out. And it is a spectacular tune that you put together. This is all you. And it's All Stars Lead to You.
You should do magic for me, 'cause I want to believe. And despite the deceit, I always see what you want me to see. Opening your galaxy floats closer to the truth. I try to capture the moon, but the only star in your sky is you. oceans in a desert sea. Take one look and I still can't believe. Zooming on the lens to grasp the magnitude of you, a celestial typhoon. And oh, I've been a fool, a comet blazing through the sky. This stellar masquerade, I'm blinded by the shimmer as you shatter everything to ruin. I try to capture the moon, but the only star in your sky is you.
Tell us about this piece, the origin, and then we'll get into the players.
Well, next year, my studio album comes out. It's called The Devil I Knew, and it's going to be produced with Larry Klein. And I had presented an unfinished version of that song for the album, and Larry was like, it's just, it's not the right energy. And so when Live at Vic's, you know, I ended up recording the studio album for The Devil I Knew and Live at Vic's in the same week, which is just a wild, unhealthy thing to do. But after, you know, Larry said, that song's not done, I said, well, actually, you know, if I have Keon and Tom Scott and Rachel, what if I finish it and finish the words? So I finished the song the day before the Live at Vic's recording, in the one day between the two recordings. And it's a song I wrote about the many narcissistic people that you may or may not encounter in your life, especially if perhaps you are a woman in the music industry. So a lot of broken, a lot of promises that people make, but in the end, the only people that they care about is themselves. And so to have it be nominated for a Grammy was pretty wild.
Yeah, and the fact that there's such beautiful solos going on in this, it really no doubt that it would be nominated for a performance, live performance. Let's talk about the band, including your husband and Grammy winner, drummer Dan Pugach, leading the way here, the backbeat of this album, and talk about the other members of the cast.
Yes, it was quite the cast. Well, you know, of course, Dan Pugach on the drums, holding it down, and then my trio, plus, well, quartet, I suppose, that I've been touring with consistently for, you know, Idan Morim on the guitar. We've been playing together since the 55 Bar days in 2014. And Sam Weber, I met him playing up in Fort Washington at church in 2016 on the bass. So we've been touring the world together. And then, you know, when we knew that the album was going to happen, the Loudons were like, well, I love Tom Scott. He's a dear friend. And I was like, Tom Scott, you know, like legendary Tom Scott on saxophone? They're like, yeah. I was like, give him a buzz. Next thing you know, Tom Scott's in. And then, you know, Rachel Eckroth has moved to Phoenix area, and she's an old friend of mine from New York. We came up on the scene in New York City together, and then she moved to the West Coast. And I was like, girl, you want to come? Do you want to come to Vegas? She's like, do I want to come to Vegas? And next thing you know, she's free. And then the final piece of the puzzle was Keon Harold, who I had met at Newport Jazz Festival 2 years ago. And I didn't know, like, the breadth of his insane career and, like, his icon level status either. I just knew that when I met him, he was super kind. And so we stayed in touch, and I saw him at the Grammys because we were nominated together last year. And again, you know, closed mouths don't get fed. I guess that's the one takeaway. I was like, meh, why don't I call Keon? Let's see if he's down. Next thing you know, he's coming to Vegas with his golf clubs. He's like, I just want to play golf and hang. And yeah, it's just such a gift. We're so very grateful. It's really amazing.
How fast did that come together for that tune? 11 minutes? You talk about 11 minutes long.
Well, I mean, I hand wrote the chart because I'm technologically impaired. And so I could show the chart. It was just almost illegible. But, you know, the song's pretty intuitive, and we played it the first night, and it was kind of a little sloppy because there's a lot going on, and when everybody's taking two choruses, there's a lot of things that can go wrong. But the second and third night, we were like, oh, we have something really cool here. We have an original song that, you know, is modeled after the standard. It's what I call modern songbook. And yeah, it was really exciting.
You and Dan are on quite a roll when it comes to the Grammys, and both of you are now Grammy winners, and for you, two times. So the Grammys are coming up on February 1st. Is there a different feel for Nicole and Dan because you've gone through this process now, and I know the excitement's still there, but is it different in any way?
Oh, well, yeah, the excitement never goes away. And there was a shock in me when we got the nomination for Live at VIX for multiple reasons. And my initial instinct, and still is, like, give it to Dee Dee. Give it to Dee Dee Bridgewater. You know, she paved the way. She's a legend. I'm such a huge fan. Like, just wow. I just can't even believe that I saw her name and then my name. It just blew my mind. But then on the other hand, there's a part of me that says, well, why do you keep making music? And why do you keep playing, you know, into the Grammy thing? And what I wanted to say to anyone who's ever considered, you know, awards, that if you go into an award to win, then you're not going to get anything out of it. But if you go into applying for any award with the intention of the evil E word, which is exposure, then, you know, you will win because you will be getting your music in front of people. And as independent artists, that's half the battle. It's like, how do I get my music in front of as many people as possible? So the win for me, regardless with any Grammy related anything, is always just people are getting to know me and getting to know the music. And, you know, after 20 years of doing this, which it's just really, it's like the greatest honor when people say, hey, I checked out Live at VIX. Like, that was cool. I didn't really like your take on this, but I really dug this. I'm like, cool. I'm happy to have that conversation. You know, it's music is alive. So that's a long answer.
Yeah. You know, for you, I've had the pleasure of not only seeing you perform live at clubs, but also in intimate settings at a house for a contributor to WBGO, and there was a room like just 10, 15 people, and we got to see you do Wichita Lineman, which you have live on this wow. album. But I have to go to this most beautiful version of Pure Imagination. Talk
oh
about
my gosh.
That. I mean, that displays everything that Nicole is about. It's about beauty, it's about love, it's about excitement, it's about thrill, it's about friendship. It's all in Pure Imagination from the wonderful Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory. Tell us about why you wanted to put this one out there.
Oh, wow. I've been playing that song since 55 Bar. We played there once a month from 2014 until it closed. And Idan Marim was there with me every single show. So that's the guitar player. And him and I just have this, I don't know, innate understanding of the song.
Come with me and you'll be in a world of pure imagination. Take a look and you'll see me into your imagination. Traveling in a world of our creation, what we'll find will defy explanation. Compare with your imagination living there.
We had an unbelievable experience when we were in Switzerland on tour this year, where we were playing a smaller venue and all the windows were open and it was dusk and all the, you know, the sun was just going down. And as we played Pure Imagination, suddenly all the birds started singing, like truly just singing everywhere. And so every time I sing that song, I get choked up thinking about it, I just think hope, hope, hope. That's like the only thing that I think the whole time is that maybe somebody here in the audience just needs to feel like there's hope somewhere. So that is, that's that song. And I'm glad you asked about that, but you know me, so that would have a special part in my bones.
Absolutely. And there's so many wonderful tunes on here. The last track is Georgia on My Mind. And so we know the original versions of this, but your take on it is special too. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Sure. We ended up inviting up the engineer, Carmen Grillo, because he's also a wonderful guitar player. He toured with Frankie Valli for years and years. He's a Las Vegas guy, you know, and he played the guitar. And, you know, after there were so many bumps in the road as we're trying to record seven people, you know, it was just so, so hard to let him also shine as a musician. So we invited him up. And I found that song, no matter where I go in the world, always hits because it's one of the best songs ever written. And so the way that I sing it is always like, yeah, this is the tune. And maybe that's like the energy that you get from it. And it's cool to just have Carmen up there sitting in with us on guitar. And I get to really roar. I guess.
Georgia, Georgia, the whole day through. Just an old sweet song, keeps Georgia.
You display blues, jazz, pop, and you mention and you giggle when you talk about your start as an opera singer during this live event. It's really the calling card for you. You can sing anything, can't you?
I certainly try. I certainly try because there's that age old adage like, good music is good music, and I've always subscribed to that, and I felt like it was my Achilles heel for so many years, and the older I get, the more I realize that just kind of gives me a unique voice. I didn't come up through the jazz academia. I came up in a roundabout way. I learned just by listening. I embarrassed myself in front of my peers. I didn't come up as like a prodigy in jazz. I was always an excellent singer. That was the one thing that was easy for me. Everything else was hard. But, you know, I think I'm actually really, really grateful that I never turned my nose up to any type of music ever. Because if you put up a blinder to a certain sound, then you're just limiting the toolbox that you can work with for life.
I've traveled around the world for years, Costa Rica to Tangier. And despite my wandering eye, I know that you're my God. My darling dear barista fellow who starts my day with some espresso. I've chosen you to make this work. The cappuccinos are just a perk. I've had the blonde roast. I've had the dark roast. I've even had the Brazilian too. But none of those roasts come close to you. I like you a latte.
Nicole Zorinas and her husband Dan Pugach will be in Los Angeles on February 1st for the 68th Grammy Awards ceremony. You can see my entire interview with Nicole Zorinas on the WBGO YouTube channel. Thanks for listening to the WBGO Journal. I'm Doug Doyle. Join us next Saturday morning at 5:30 for another edition of the award-winning WBGO Journal. In the meantime, stay tuned to the world's greatest jazz and blues station, WBGO and WBGO.org.